Today's Mishnah, we got up to the 15th parak of Kehilim. Okay, so Mishnah 2. So remember, our first Mishnah tells us that Kehilim that are not Klei Matechet, we talked about Klei Eitz and Klei Etzem and Klei Or and so on, if they are just Pshutim, so that means that they're flat and they have no Beit Kibul, they are not Mekabel Tuma at all. But it happens to be that there is a new concept that we need to introduce here. And that is, there are three different dinim of Pshute Kli Eitz or Kli Etzem and so on. Four different dinim. The four different dinim are like this. If a Kli is used for Tashmish HaAdam, for instance, a ladder, that is Pshute Kli Eitz and it is not Mekabel Tuma. If a Kli is used for an Adam and for other Kalim of the Adam, such as, for instance, a table. A table is a flat piece of wood. However, it is used by the person to put his food on, and it is used by a person to put his things on. So therefore, it is Meshamish both Kalim and Adam. Those Kalim are Mekabel Tuma. Furthermore, there's another thing in which if a Kli is Meshamish another Kli at all times, whether it's Bishat Milacha or whether it's Shalo Bishat Milacha. So the Rambam obviously gives his example of an iPod Tik. So the iPod Tik remains on the iPod, whether you're using the iPod where you flip back the front cover, or whether you're not using the iPod where you flip forward. And Ari was kind enough to actually bring a show and tell description of the Kalim in today's Mishnah. Thank you, Ari. That's beautiful. So that would be the type of Kli that is considered to be a Kli, even if it would be completely flat because it's used by another Kli, both Bishat Melacha and Shalo Bishat Melacha. Now, there is also a fourth category of Kli, of Pshute Kli Eitz and leather and so on and so forth. And that is something that has all the appearances of a normal Kli. And surprisingly, in our Mishnah, we're even going to get into a case of the difference between the same Kli that is painted, where it's painted red, the same piece of wood painted red is metame, whereas if it's not painted red, it's not metame, which is insane, but it isn't, you see, because the normal metallic version of that Kli always came in red. And therefore, somebody who looks at this has no idea that he's looking at a piece of wood. It looks like a standard Kli, which would be Mekabel Tuma. And therefore, this thing is considered also to be Metame, even though technically speaking, obviously only Midrabbanan, but even though technically speaking, it's Pshute Kli Eitz, it's Tzurat Kli, which is another Munach for you to remember, because since it eat like Tzurat Kli, the Rabbanan made a Gezerah that it will be tummy. And this introduces us to another important way that this particular perek brings out the dinim. Because what it does is it shows you the same kli in different contexts. And in different contexts, the same thing can be tummy as opposed to tor in another context, which is fascinating. So let's take our first example is arubot shel nachtomim artmeot, but shel ba'alei batim are tahorot. So an aruva is flat. It has no Beit Kibul whatsoever. If a baker has this big aruva, so then they look like a real Kli. And the reason is because this is something that oftentimes is made out of metal and oftentimes is similar to the type of Kli where this is putting the loaves on before you actually are able to put them into the big baking oven. So they would also come together with something. You would put your knife on and you would put the food on, so then it would be like something that's B'Shamesh Adam. But the smaller, simple, the aruva of a balabayit, I mean, it just looks like a flat board. Nobody's going to make it the mistake of thinking that it's a real kli. But if it was painted, red or it was painted yellow, so serkan, either chirchaman, srak is red, kurkaman is yellow, that's saffron, that is tame. Why? Because min rabbanan, it has a tzurat kli. Another case, very similar to this, is where you've got a baker. Here we're not talking about pshuta kli eitz. Here we're talking about a actual klei matechet. And a baker sometimes connects a shelf to the wall, and it's made out of metal. So Rebbe Eliezer is metayer, because even though, obviously, a kli matechet is metame, even though it's pshute kli matechet, so why does he say that it's tahar? Because something that is attached to the ground, which here too, it's attached to the wall, which is basically attached to the ground, remains tahar. But the chachomim are metamim, because they say once something had the din of a kli, before it was attached, it's not going to be changed and therefore lose its tuma or lose its chalos tuma that it's shayach to after it's attached. Now, this has to do also very much with the question of mikvaot. Where does something have a din of a kli for a mikvah? If it was a pipe that was meant to be inserted into the ground, but beforehand it was already made as a standard open-ended pipe, then that type of kli matechet would be tameh. And it doesn't help to put it into the ground afterwards to use as a mikveh, would turn the mayim into mayim she'uvim. It has to be specially manufactured for specifically the purpose of being mechubar to karka. Another case, if you have a sarod, there's a difference between the nachtom sarod. The sarod is similar to the cases that we've had, except that it's used for cutting. So you would cut the dough into smaller pieces, each one of which is going to be a ragala or whatever it is that you're making, and then you put it into the oven. So there too, when it comes to the professional, the nachtom, so there it could become tamei. And in that sense, it looks like a kli and often has a sacking on it to cut through, but it's just for the household, it just looks like a piece of flat piece of wood. If, however, you made a little gofafo, so you made like a little rim around it, if it goes all the way around, then it becomes already a kli beit kibul. If afterwards you break it open and now it's no longer surrounded on all four sides, so and it's wood, then it's not a beit kibul. So at that point, entirely, it's the actual functionality of the beit kibul. Rabbi Shimon says that the idea of becoming tamei when it has the rim is imit kinu liyot koreitz alav. If you did something that changed it so that it looks like a slicing place, then it becomes tummy because it has a tsuras kli. Same thing is true of a ma'aroch. There's a big machlokas about what a ma'aroch is. I think the most reasonable in terms of our Mishnah here is a roller. So, you know, the thing that women use to hit their husbands over the head all the time in all the cartoons? A rolling pin. So a rolling pin, even though it's made out of wood and it's pshute kli eitz, but it looks very similar to kalim and oftentimes would actually have the metal piece inside of it. So because of that, it would be tame according to everyone. Mishnah Gimel. Other differences between a professional use and a use of a regular balabayit. This case is talking about a sifter. So how exactly in those days did you have a sifter? So what you would do is you would take hair, animal hair, and make it into a mesh, and then you would insert it into I don't know if they still have them, but here in Eretz Yisrael, they had these, definitely 50 years ago, all households had it, where you have this wooden round frame and you have a wooden spring-like thing. In other words, you were able to put it inside that frame and it was big enough to press strongly against the frame. So you would take the mesh and you would put it inside the large wooden frame, and then you would take this small wooden ring, put it inside the mesh, and that would hold the mesh up against the outside frame, and then you could use it for sifting your flour. The reason it was done this way is because sifters would always get clogged up. So in order to get rid of the clog, you would take it out of the wooden frame, and that way you would be able to move it around, forcing all of the dirt or the chaff that was inside of the mesh out, and then put it back in again. So that was normal. So that was called, actually, a yam nafa. Why is it called a yam nafa, which means a sifter from the sea? That's because of the wooden frame. The wooden frame would be like the seashore, and then you would have the nafa itself, would be inside of the wooden frame. So just like the yam has got, you look around and you've got the seashore all around. Over here, you've got the mesh has got the wood all around it. So they call it a yam nafa. So if you're a professional salat, a salat is not a salad maker. That's spelt with a tet, you see, salat, as everybody knows. But salat over here is from the word solat. So if you are a professional salat, that means that that is what you are going to be doing all the time. And those were made differently. Why were they made differently? Because they require constant cleaning out. And because of that, they were made in such a way that they click right in and click right out. Here we've got a picture over there that Bruce is showing us. If you lift it a little higher to the higher. Yeah. So if you've got a sifter, like a click-in sifter that works very quickly in and out, it is considered to be a kli when it's out and when it's in. And therefore, it's a real kli made that way all the time. It's not considered to be broken if you take it apart. So he's using it all the time. He's got to clean it every 10 minutes and so on. So because of that, it's initially designed to have the yam nafa separate from the surrounding piece of wood. But a balabayit, he doesn't have such a need. I got once every month, he's got to clean it out. At that point, he's considered to be taking it apart. And if he takes it apart, it's no longer a kli. Rabbi Yehuda says there's another interesting difference, and that is the mesh, which is similar to a nafa, which is used in a hairdresser shop. So over there, what they would do is they would put down this screen under the customer, and anything that fell off of the hair or any type of things, not only the cut hair, but any things that they would use to, you know, spray on the hair and so on. So all of those things would be caught inside of the mesh. But there it would be tamei because it's tumas moshav, even though it doesn't have a base kibble, because the girls sit in the mesh while they're getting their hair done. And therefore it's considered, and that way it picks up everything all around them. But that way it's considered also this similar to a chair. And anything that can be makabel tumas mishkav and moshav, which is tumas midras, is by definition, as you recall, kolam atamik tumas midras is automatically considered to be a kli to be makabel other tumas. And therefore, in the case of a hairdresser, it would have a different din. And our closing Mishnah for today, Mishnah Dalet. Kol ha-tolayim are tmeim. So very often you attach like a little rope, which you make into a loop that allows things to hang, and you attach it to the handle, and then it's easy to hang up. All of those things are considered to be part of the kli, and they would be mitame, and as long as they're attached, except from loops of a nafa and a kavara. A kavara is essentially the same as a nafa, except it's called a sieve as opposed to a sifter, and it has larger holes, and that's used for grosser materials. So that kind of loop is not considered to be tame, even while it's attached. So says Rabbi Meir. The Chachomim say everything is not going to become tame. But the sifter, the sieve that you say is different, is because we leave it attached usually. Remember, it's so easy to get dirty. Since we don't leave it attached, Rabbi Meir says it's not considered to be part of it. The Chachomim say even the ones that are attached are tahar, because they are not used for the kli. They're only used for hanging the kli, and that's not called a tashmish kli at all. The only one that is different is a professional toloi of a nafa, which is mekabel tuma for some interesting reasons that we'll see in a moment. The same thing would be true of a toloi of the kvara of granot, which over there you're on the threshing floor, and you have to separate the grain from the chaff, and talui of a magal yad, over there, the magal yad is made out of metal, but it's a sickle, and talui of the makel habalashim. We've got detectives from the tax authorities, and they use this particular stick, and that we would use to poke through your suitcase when you come in to check for contraband, and that's metal. So that would be considered, even the loop would be considered, because What you would do in all of these cases is you would use the actual loop to put your hand into, and that supported your direct usage of the kli so that it didn't slip out if you're poking into the guy's baggage or if you're taking something large like a kivrata granot or a big napav slatim. You would often put your hand through it in order to be able to move it about so that it wouldn't slip out or so that it wasn't so hard to hold on to. It was much more difficult to hold on to the kli, especially the one on the granot, where they would put up a couple of bricks on either side, take this giant nafa, put it on either side, and then the guy would have to move the whole thing, which is very difficult. So if you put a loop through it on the side, he would put his hand through the loop, and that way he wouldn't lose his grip. The general rule being, zaklal, anything which is meant, sorry, I skipped over here, the klal here, anything that is meant to be misayea b'sha'at milacha, if it's there to actually help you in using the kli, then it's part of the kli. So if you slip your hand through it, it's obviously part of the kli. Anything which is only designed for hanging the kli, since they're not part of the actual use of the kli, they're not considered to be attached, and therefore they're not shayach to kabbalas tuma. Kol tov. Have a great, great day, and besirot tovot on all issues.